Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name for ever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Our generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendour of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendour of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name for ever and ever. Now to Philippians 4, verses 10 to 20. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus, the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen.
One of the great blessings of the new heavens and new earth is we'll know how to say Epaphroditus correctly. There'll be plenty of those saints that we, oh, you're that guy. Never could say your name. Good morning to you. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6. And we have been working our way in our present series through our Lord's Prayer, the prayer that our Lord Jesus has taught. It is a form of prayer. For us, it is a prayer we may pray and also a guide for us of how we may go about our praying, how to order and structure these things. And as you remember, we have several parts of our Lord's Prayer. There's the preface, Our Father in Heaven, and then it's broken down into six petitions, six broad areas that we're presenting before God in the way of our prayer requests. And today we are at the fourth of those petitions. Give us this day our daily bread. And then at the end, there is a conclusion to that. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I don't know if you've noticed, but in the order and structure of our Lord's Prayer, the first three of the petitions, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, all have the priority of your name be hallowed, your kingdom come, your will be done. But then notice the second part of the petitions, 4, 5, and 6, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now there's the priority of that first part, hallowed be your name. And really the rest of the prayer flows from that petition. It, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Tell us how we may hallow God's name. But then in the second set of the petitions, the us ones, I guess we'll call it this morning, all of those are petitions that help us to be able to hallow God's name, help us to be able to do his will and seek after his kingdom and its righteousness. So we're asking God to give us those things that we most have need of in order that we might hallow his name. We need these things in petitions 4 and 5 and 6 in order that we might glorify God and enjoy him forever. Well, this is a declaration of dependence, not of independence, not that we're declaring that we are standalone entities and we can get by just by ourselves. No, it is a declaration of our utter dependence upon God for everything, not just in a few areas of our lives, as if we were somehow to put God into a category or a little box over there, and we bring out God in order to meet a particular need, as if he were some sort of fire extinguisher that we keep on the wall until it's time. Or back in the day, you might go in some public buildings and it had a fire axe there. I remember just being enthralled by a fire axe in a glass case, and it said, break in case of fire. And when I was a little boy, I thought, oh, please, let there be a fire. You know, that's how we tend to treat God at times. That's how we treat God at times. No, this is a declaration of our total dependence upon God. Now, in the early days of the church, there were some who had some problems with this particular petition. In the early church, it seems that some of the church fathers were embarrassed that we should be asking of God for something physical, that is our daily bread, and that somehow that would precede the request for spiritual gifts, for forgiveness of our sins, for deliverance from temptation. And so what they did was, looking at this petition, said, the needs of the body, you know, and this was fed into by a philosophy known as Gnosticism, that somehow things that were spiritual were better than things that were physical. And to ask for our physical needs and our physical existence somehow was lesser and of not important to God. In fact, it was base. You know, why would you want to remain in this world? And in fact, that's why when Paul is preaching about the resurrection from the dead in Acts chapter 17, the Greek philosophers there at the Areopagus at Mars Hill, some laughed him to scorn because they thought it was ludicrous. Why in the world would you want to return to the pigsty from which you came? That's how they treated the human body. And so the early church somewhat was affected by some of this thinking, and they thought, oh, it's just utterly unspiritual to ask for things for the body. Why in the world would you want to go about doing this? And so, you know, they were embarrassed. Why this petition first, as opposed to forgiveness of sins first? And shouldn't that be the great priority of things? And so they would spiritualize, oh, well, we're praying for Jesus, who is that bread which has come down from heaven. And yes, yeah, he is described as such for us, and we live and move and have our being in him. But the reformers, in looking at this, said, look, bread is bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Because God has created us body and soul. That's what it is to be a human being. That is what it is to live in this world. We are asking God that He would give us everything, as Peter says in 2 Peter 1, everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything that pertains to this life. Lord, give us what we have need of to live for You and for Your glory. In fact, we cannot do the parts of the petition with regards to hallowing of God's name and seeking after His kingdom and doing His will if we're dead. If we don't have this provision, the dead cannot praise God, the psalmist says. So we need to live if we are to serve the Lord and to glorify Him. So we should never be embarrassed to ask God with regards to the needs that we have physically. We should never regard our physical needs as somehow being lesser in the sight of God. We have a gracious Heavenly Father who knows us, who knows exactly what we have need of. Now, the fact that we see this petition as the fourth of the requests that we make of God is a bit of a rebuke to us. Because what is it that we do oftentimes in prayer? We rush into God's presence and we put before Him our shopping list, as it were. Could You do this? And we need this and we need that. We're told, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So yes, we need to pray, Lord, help me to hallow Your name. Help me to seek Your kingdom. Help me to do Your will. And to that end, Lord, give me everything that I have need of for life and for godliness in You. So what is it that we're asking here? We're asking for everything that we have need of in order to sustain life. It is everything that we have need of before the Lord. So why are we asking for bread? Now, that might seem to be a dumb question here, but there are deeper considerations as to why we ask God more than just enough to eat to live. We're asking God to give us what we had need of, and we need to consider that in the background of the fact God doesn't owe us other than His wrath and curse to us due to our sin. We and our father Adam have sinned against God. We've committed cosmic treason against Him, and we have forfeited all right to God's blessings. We act, you know, so many times as if we are owed something by God. God doesn't owe us anything by way of blessing. He is delighted to give it to us in His mercies and grace. So when we are praying this petition, it ought to be with a great amount of humility. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. But also when we consider how God operates this universe, that things don't just happen. Yes, there are laws that God has so created this universe, and they operate by those things. But just who is it who governs and sustains them? Who is it who is actively at work? It's not as if He has made the universe as if it were some kind of giant clock and wound it up and just left it running and He's backed off. No, He is actively engaged. He is, as it were, with His sleeves rolled up, always moving everything after the counsel of His will. Our Heavenly Father is that one who directs every raindrop, who directs every photon of sunlight, who has placed every single molecule of nutrient, who has caused that seed to germinate and to grow up in crops. He is the one who's appointed those who are the farmers, and those who are the shippers, packers and shippers, and those who are the ones who stock the shelves for us. It is our God who directs all things after the counsel of His will. So when we're praying this petition, we're praying, Lord, so direct and govern all things to provide for me. It's a staggering thing, isn't it? When you just sit and think about the food chain, the food supply, and how all of that works, and all the trucks running up and down the highways, and the stock boys in the supermarkets, and the buyers and the pickers, and how all these things operate. In our modern age, we don't we are not living as subsistence farmers. You know, that's not something that we are engaged in as much. And the farther we become removed from agriculture, the less and less we think of this reality. But it is God who so directs and works all things. And so it is right and proper to pray for good crops and to pray for rain in due season and to pray for all of these circumstances. It is also something, when we're praying this particular petition, it is in light of our tendency towards unthankfulness, our ingratitude. We have to consider, God has graciously given us everything that we have need of, but what do? We tend to forget to return due thanks to Him, this God from whom all blessings flow. And indeed, we waste the good things that God gives to us when we fail to return to Him thanks for the blessings He has given to us. You know, we live in an age where there is so great abundance upon us. In our land, we see this lavished upon us. What a marvelous thing that it is. And we think, what a marvelous blessing it is. It is a blessing only to those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who are unbelievers, this common goodness and grace that God showers down upon them by causing the rain to fall upon the just and upon the unjust, of giving food in its due season. For the unbeliever, those who are ungrateful to God for His provision in Christ Jesus, the food is really a curse to them, because it's just another occasion of their manifestation of ingratitude to God, time after time after time after time. The goodness of God, Romans tells us, should lead us to repentance, should lead us to fall down on our knees before God and to proclaim to Him His grace and mercy is so wonderful and undeserved, and we thank Him and bless His name always. This petition also reminds us that our Heavenly Father has promised to give us everything, as 2 Peter 1:3 says, everything that pertains to life and godliness. There is nothing left out of that. How everything is everything? Everything. Everything our Heavenly Father sees that we have need of, we may trust Him to supply us. That we may trust Him to give us those things that He sees that we need. And so, contrary to our human instincts, the motivation give us this day our daily bread also has nothing to do with worry. As somehow we're praying this petition, God, I hope You come through for me today. God, I hope that that somehow You might have it in Your larder to provide for me. God, I hope somehow that You, no, we may come with confident hope and trust as His children in Christ Jesus. Later on in Matthew 6, Jesus is going to tell us, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you'll put on. The point is not whether we will have our daily bread. God, by His sovereign hand of mercy, will direct that we do have that, but that our eyes are focused in the right direction, that we return to Him, that we understand it's our Heavenly Father who is indeed the only source of every good, that He is that Father of lights from whom every good and perfect gift comes to us. So, what are we doing? We're asking for the fulfillment of our needs. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. We're asking for God to provide for us for those daily basic needs that we have need of in order that we might glorify Him. It teaches us to ask for the things we need. And this really addresses, especially that we are in a consumerist culture, that we thrive in a kingdom of thingdom, he who has the most toys wins kind of approach to things. Well, the old saying is, you never see a rental trailer being towed by a hearse on the way to the cemetery. You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. Why is it that we are as if we are like the great dragon Smaug in the Lord of the Rings, who is sitting upon heaps and heaps of gold and treasure there, and it is just so so greedy and so nasty. No, we're praying, Lord, just give me what I have need of. And it's what he sees that we have need of. With Paul, we can say, Lord, with these things I'll be content. It's the prayer of Agar in Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9 is a good prayer in this respect. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. We serve a God who provisions us according to his will and his intention and his mission for us. There used to be a saying in the United States Army, especially amongst the junior enlisted, the sergeants would say to them, if God wanted you to have a wife, if the Army wanted you to have a wife, they would have issued you one. Well, God is the one who sees what's fit for us to carry out his will and intention. We are all created to glorify him. He's going to give us what we have need of. He sees we individually in that place, in that time, in those circumstances with which to glorify his name. And some of us have been in occasions where we have had great amounts of wealth relatively, and we've had times of poverty at times. God sovereignly has directed for us to have those things to be used for his glory at that time and at that occasion to glorify him. And that's where we have a problem here, because our focus is not necessarily on praying for the advancement of the kingdom of God as we ought and we must. We think these things are for ourselves. No, everything that God has given to us is in order that we might carry out his will and his mission in this world for his name's sake. And so we pray, Lord, provide sufficient funds for your church, provide for the work of missions, and work in me so that I might be able to support the church, so that I might be able to support missions, that I might be able to glorify you with my life and my children as well, that they might grow up and be useful in your kingdom. And so if there are great needs in the church, yes, we may pray for prosperity. We can't expect God to provide us, though, with abundance if our aim is selfish. No, our approach to all of this should be that it's said of John Wesley saying that we should work as hard as we can to earn as much as we can in order that we might give as much as we can in order to do as much good as we can for the glory of the kingdom. I was talking to a brother after the 7:45 service, and he says, you see that car out there, the car that I'm driving, it's a company car. And I'm thinking, you're retired. How is this a company car? And he said, it belongs to the company of the saints. It is given to me by God to use for the glory of his name. That's the approach that we have. And yet, what is it? The apostles, James said, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. No, we pray for our needs, that is, the needs that God sees that we may use to glorify him. So how do we go about asking God for all of these things in prayer? Well, we ask in faith in the one that we're addressing. Those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, we're told in Hebrews. Well, you have to believe first that there is a God, and that this God is the one who graciously rules and controls all things. It's not as if we're going to God, well, you know, Lord, if you can do anything, you know, if this happens to fall within your sphere of influence, what is it that we sang with the kids? Our God is so great, so strong, and so mighty. There's what? Let's say there's nothing my God cannot do. This is our God. And we must come to him believing him that he is able to do exceeding abundantly more than we could hope or even ask. So many times our prayers are so timid. Lord, if you could some way see you're clear to this and somehow you might have the provision for that. Lord, we don't know if you happen to have it on the shelves of your heavenly warehouse. to be able to fill this particular need and so forth. No, we come believing that He is this God of the universe who rules and controls all of His creation and all the activities within it, that He is a sovereign God, that there's nothing that can stay or prevent our God from working mightily His will and His intention and all things. This is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who seek Him. Not only do we come to Him in faith, we come to Him in trust, and especially as our Heavenly Father, who delights in doing His good. This is a God to whom we come. If we ask of Him, an egg would not give us a serpent, Jesus said. This is a God to whom we come begging for bread, asking from Him bread would not give us a stone. Oh, this is our Heavenly Father that we're approaching in prayer, who delights in the prayers of His people, who will take care of us. Yes, there are fathers in this world who are negligent. There are fathers in this world who maybe are not negligent, but they're well-intended, but yet aren't able to scrape together enough to put on the table to make sure there's adequate and sufficient supply for their children. And that's a great tragedy, but our Heavenly Father has got it all covered. He is that one who has made us and who indeed takes care of us. And so we can go before Him. Father, I trust You. Give me this day our daily bread. And one of the ways of translating that particular verse is, give us our day-by-day bread. You see, isn't it the tendency that we often have is that we want to say, God, show me the books. Show me Your bookkeeping here. Show me Your ledgers. I want to see that You've got sufficient resources in order to care for me, and that everything is going to occur like clockwork before I can trust You. Well, that's not how He operates. He operates keeping us, as it were, on a short account, that we come to Him daily and seek from Him everything that we have need of. This was a petition that was well understood in that day, when Jesus is giving this, because you had many people who were day laborers who lived on a hand-to-mouth basis, on a daily basis, if they could get work that day, and at the end of the day, the person who had hired them would pay them. And so they lived pretty close to the bone. And so they're praying, Lord, give me this day by day, my bread. They were continually having to trust Him in that circumstance. But you and I would prefer it, wouldn't we? That the Lord is the master logistician, set things up so we could see this ginormous stockpile of all the food that we could eat, of all the stuff that we think that we're going to need of, as if God has assigned to us our own personal Kohl's or Woolies and warehouses with trucks running up and down the highways to supply all those things. And if we could go in and see all of that and be satisfied. God controls all those things. He is the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the scriptures tell us, and as we would say in Texas, and all the oil underneath those hills. He is the one who controls all of these things. But it doesn't necessarily work this way, that we see that provision in its totality. We see it day by day, each and every day. The prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. And we struggle against that notion that every time we find ourselves in need, we have to go before the Lord. We need to go to Him. And you know, when my wife and I first, when I was first pastoring in a small town in Mississippi, we were quite a ways away from grocery stores and big warehouse places that we could get good discounted goods. So we would work up a once a month type of shopping list. And then we would go in and just have this huge expenditure and load up the vehicle with what we had need of for that month. Well, God keeps us on very short accounts, as it were, that we come to Him each and every day to seek from Him what we have need of. And that just rubs against the grain. You know, we want everything, we want it now. At times as well. And maybe we don't see God supplying us what we think we have need of right here, right now. And our Heavenly Father, who knows all things and works all things after the counsel of His will and brings everything to pass in its time, in its perfect way, in its perfect circumstance, may have us to say, no, you need to wait. Because I'm bringing it online at the right time. You need to trust me in this. No, we want to have it one and done. We're the people who are upset because the drive-thru at Macca's is taking too long. But our Heavenly Father tells us time and again, look, I've got this covered. Wait upon me. Wait upon me to supply your needs according to my understanding of all things. So we come before the Lord with a sense of humility. We come with a sense of humility. Lord, I don't deserve a single crumb from under your table. And yet we come knowing that it is because of Christ who has been given for us. You see, it is because of the blood of Jesus that we may enjoy the meals that we have, that we may enjoy the clothing that we wear, that we may enjoy all of these things that God provides for us over and again. You see, it is by the blood of Jesus that we've been brought near. It is by that blood of Jesus that's made it possible for us to be adopted by God and declared His children. It is by the blood of Jesus that we may have all things richly to enjoy. So when we are coming with humility, we are acknowledging that work of Christ that's made it possible for us to receive the blessings of God, for they can only be given to us because of the blood of Jesus. You see, after His baptism, Christ was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and He would suffer, and in His sufferings He would be tempted. He would go 40 days and 40 nights without food and being hungry. He would be tempted by the devil to take what God had not given, even as Adam was tempted in paradise. And Christ suffered extreme hunger and even death in order that we might receive life and all the things in it. My friend Joel Beakey back in the States writes, I vividly remember speaking once to a baker who was a God-fearing man. He said to me, wishing that he could relive those days, that for the longest time, that after he had first opened up his shop, that every time a customer would come in, having purchased something and gone out, he would slip into the back of the bakery and would fall on his knees and thank God for each sale. He said, I saw every penny that came into the cash register as having been dipped in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we regard our pay stubs that way? Do we regard the notice that we've received things? Do we regard when we go back out in the back and we pick that tomato or that pepper or whatever it is? God, thank you. You are the one who has provided this for me. It is given to me in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, give me this day my daily bread, O God. Help me to see it comes to me because and in and through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is also something, too, that we can, as the psalm that was read, Psalm 145, learning to speak to the generations that are coming up with regards to God's mighty deeds and His acts. One of the greatest things that I like to do is to listen to my dad and when my grandparents were alive, to listen to them when they were children, to hear how things were in their day. What an opportunity it is for us with our children and our grandchildren and if God has so blessed our great-grandchildren to be able to tell them of God's ways with us, to tell them stories of our growing up. Yes, maybe we had times where things were pretty close to the bone, and yet we can testify of God's goodness and grace in providing for us in a measure that is beyond understanding, exceeding abundantly more than we could hope or even ask. I remember a time when I was in uni, and I received a stipend from my parents of $30 a month to get by on. I had a meal ticket in the in the dining facility for 20 meals a week. So I had one meal Sunday nights that I was responsible for, and I was learning how to budget my money, and I hit one of those five Sunday months, and I had too much month at the end of the money. And Sunday night rolled around, and I didn't have any money that I was aware of. And back, you might not believe this, I was about 50 kilos less in weight. I was so pathetically skinny that my friends would joke I'd have to wear water skis in the shower to keep from going down the drain. I needed to eat that Sunday evening, and I didn't realize that, you know, my budgeting I had messed up, and I was kind of resigned to, okay, I'm going to have to fast here or something. And yet, an announcement came on the PA, there in the dormitory. Oh, such and such organization is selling chili dogs for 2 for 99 cents. I'm like, well, okay, 99 cents. And I happened to look in one of my drawers, my desk drawer, and America hasn't wised up yet and not using the penny any longer, and they just tend to collect up and so forth. So I started counting, because the pennies I would just take out the change out of my pocket and toss into the drawer. I think you know how many pennies were there. To the nose. To exactly that amount. The Lord providing it. I don't despise pennies any longer. And every time I smell that coppery smell of them, I think of God's goodness that night. And to tell my children of that, and look forward to telling my grandchildren concerning that. God's providing for us. And many of us have stories of that sort. Tell them, make that a conversation around the meal today, of God's provision for you in some way, shape, or form. Yes, we tell them of the mighty deeds of God in the scriptures, and we need to know that, but help them to see this is a living hope and trust that we have in Christ as well, and telling them of his glory and of his goodness and of his grace. Well, friends, let's pray together. We praise you, Lord, that you have promised to us everything that pertains to life and godliness, everything that we have need of. And we may come and trust of you and confident hope as our Heavenly Father. And forgive us, Lord, for our times of ingratitude. And we pray, Father, that you would be at work even now, changing our hearts. And pray for those who may be here who've never rightly returned praise to you. Indeed, the good gifts of the provision of food for them have not turned out to be a blessing, but further add to condemnation for their ingratitude. Oh, work upon their hearts as well, Lord, to help them see your goodness and grace and mercy and return thanks to you in Christ Jesus. Lord, hear our prayer this day. And indeed, we pray even as our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.